You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lamadou, a principal in KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. Joining me today, I have Tracy Graham and Jennifer Holly, both part of our Banking and Capital Markets Tax Group and both in state and local tax. So welcome, ladies.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about apportionment automation, which is top of mind for a lot of banks and something we're hearing a lot about and helping a lot with. And I think it's interesting. I want to get your perspective, Jen and Tracy, but it seems like there's a combination of reasons why this is all really top of mind right now. We know that banking, financial institution apportionment can be complex. GLs don't necessarily have the detail needed for apportionment. And a lot of systems don't account for the legal entity breakdown needed for tax. But I think it's complicated more by the fact that in general, tax software is not designed to account for industry-specific rules that are applicable to our banks and financial institution groups. Also, state auditors seem to be looking for an incredible amount of data, really detailed down to the ledger level data to support apportionment calculations. So you put all this together and I think it's a perfect case for automation, but let's get your takes on it. So why are we talking about this?
So Liz, I think you hit on the age-old issue that banks face and financial institutions face when they try to use canned tax software to apply rules and upload their apportionment appropriately on their tax returns. In general, tax software is not designed to account for industry-specific rules applicable to banks and financial institutions. You know, for example, an entity first has to be determined whether it is a bank, a financial institution, or applies general rules. And that determination is made on a state-by-state level. That functionality is not available in standard tax prep software we see our clients license. Also, even the factor weighting applied to each entity depending on its industry designation, it can be different. So these are things that you cannot flip those switches easily inside of tax prep software. So you're stuck doing calculations and coming up with numbers on the front end before you push anything into your tax prep software and before it makes its way to your return. This is, first of all, burdensome and it takes time. But second of all, there's a lot of risk associated with performing these calculations outside of the software, pushing them into the software, getting them on your return. And finally, it's tough sometimes to trace back that work when a state comes in and audits a specific entity. And so all of these areas are reasons why that standard solution maybe isn't the best for banks and why they may need something that is more honed in on their rules and industries, you know, can think of those industry specific issues and apply those in the logic set. And I think this is, you know, a great time for Tracy to speak about what she's seen around audit activity recently and the challenges our clients are facing in being able to provide auditors details around their apportionment under their current solutions, which are really just Excel work papers and OIT exports.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Jen. I think Liz touched on this as well. It's always been a concern of financial institutions and banks and taxpayers generally, like what support will you provide an auditor as it relates to questions around your apportionment, your sourcing rules, inclusion, exclusion. In the past, to your point, Jen, it's really just been Excel documents. Sometimes you're trying to trace those back to see what logic a person would have applied, because that's how the logic would be applied manually outside of the tax prep software. And that's always been a challenge. And so we have been advocating for a shift to a more streamlined automated approach, using logic charts, using Alteryx and other solutions that will allow you to really see the logic in words, not just dig into the formula in the Excel spreadsheet and try to see what was happening, but see it in words and in numbers that are turned on and turned off the logic. So that makes a lot easier to look at so that you can prepare for when the auditor is going to come in and ask those questions. But over since this past summer, we've seen a significant shift, even in very small jurisdictions where taxpayers are not paying that much tax. We are seeing the auditors asking for loan level detail, very granular information that is not normally housed in your apportionment work paper or housed in what you would get off the ledger or even off the loan system. And so we're now trying to go back for several of my clients and sort of peel back, you know, 3-4 years later, what documents were used, because we didn't just get, you know, they don't have all the loan system saved somewhere where it was then sanitized and then automated and pushed into the tax prep. They're having to dig back through very voluminous schedules, some of which are just PDFs, not even something that you can manipulate and use the data and provide it in a way that would be usable to the auditor. So that has been a shift that we have been seeing. And so I'd love to start really pushing conversations and thinking about how we can be responsive through automation to these requests from the auditors.
So I'm struck by the amount of time everything you just described must take, whether it's preparing the apportionment work papers and calculations on the front end to even get them onto the return, but then on the back end, supporting those for audit. So I think it's just the time savings, which ultimately is cost savings, seems to make apportionment a great case for automation. Is there a particular candidate for automation?
Most companies are candidate for some level of automation. And when we say automation, that could also be, just thinking about process improvements, making more efficient work papers, not through, you know, robots and softwares like Alteryx, but, you know, just cleaner Excel files and auditable kind of trails of data. So, you know, whether it's a small company with not a lot of data in their apportionment or a large company that has hundreds of sources, I think most companies can be candidates for improvement. Things to consider in determining if a process is ripe for automation and specifically apportionment: how many source documents go into the process? What has to be done to those source documents? Are we working with PDF data that then has to be keyed in? That presents high risk of miskeying an amount. Are there many data sources that have to be joined together to make usable data? This is an area where we can automate that joining of data and creation of amounts that actually are used for apportionment. How many hours is your team spending on gathering and collating this data to ultimately arrive at by-state apportionment amounts? What is the review process, and how confident is the, you know, the reviewer in the fact that their apportionment is right, that the data sources have all come together, reconcile, and are being reported correctly?
So one thing I've seen too is the lack of an enterprise-wide view of apportionment, so that lots of times the process has multiple spreadsheet workbooks by entity, by state, but nothing really pulls everything together nicely. And personally, from a planning perspective, I think it's great to have that view of where is the enterprise doing business and what does that mean for state taxes?
Yeah, it's interesting, Liz. We still see clients having like bank apportionment and then another workbook for every other entity. And then what ends up happening is that maybe there's a disconnect between the logic that's being applied. Like, You know, you might be using cost performance on one entity, but not another. And so there's not uniform application of the state rules or even how to validate that the rules are being uniformly applied. And maybe they shouldn't be uniformly applied if one's a bank and others are non-banks, but not even being able to validate that that's occurring because you have all these separate owners and separate workbooks that are then driving to a, you know, a big number that you need for all the unitary states, for example.
So it sounds like lots of candidates for automation. Can you guys talk me through a high-level description of what an apportionment project looks like and, you know, what are the components?
As we approach processes for automation and specifically apportionment, the first step is understanding the entire process from the source files and systems to the data manipulation and, you know, kind of what we call data wrangling, and then application of logic and rules to that data. And finally, how that information is reviewed and uploaded into tax prep software, where it goes next, maybe the provision, maybe planning models, places like that. So it's really first understanding the entire process of apportionment, work paper creation. And then we really like to document that process so we can see the entire thing, you know, in one place. What is happening? You know, where are we pulling this information? What are we doing with it? And where does it go? Once we document the process, that's where we can pinpoint areas for improvement and areas that are taking a lot of manual effort or that have a lot of risk in that process. I think I mentioned keying in amounts from PDFs. That's an area where we'd certainly want to eliminate that manual touch. So once we have the process documented and we identify areas for improvement, the next step is considering a path forward of how are we going to make the biggest wins today and take hours out of the process. It can be a phased approach for automating apportionment. So, you know, maybe you really would like to focus on sales because that's the most material. And that's what most states, you know, every state uses a sales factor in their apportionment.
So once you've identified the areas for improvement, then where do you go next? Because as you mentioned before, the traditional tax software isn't always right for a financial institution.
That's right. So the next step would be to marry the data with rules. And once we build a computation engine and marry that data with tax rules, we then produce outputs to really show work papers that can support the audit trail and can be input into the tax prep software. So essentially, at the end of an automation solution are the numbers that go on the tax return. No longer are you relying on the tax prep software to get those amounts onto your returns. We push them directly to the returns.
So really you have the apportionment before the return, which is another benefit. I know if you wait and don't actually ever see the apportionment calculation until the return is done, it's tough for forward planning and review. And I guess that also allows for more real-time views of the apportionment. Is that right, Tracy?
It allows for more real-time reviews. And what I was going to say, it also allows for you to have really one source of truth. Sometimes we find that if you're reviewing the apportionment alongside like the first set of returns, then you might find items that need to be tweaked. And then all of a sudden you have apportionment as of October 15th. And then you have another set of work papers that would be apportionment as of for the November 15th filings. And so there can be a disconnect between those. So using automation, you're reviewing holistically and you're doing that hopefully in July. And then if there have to be any tweaks or additional data gathered from subsystems or from, you know, business unit people, you can do that in the summer rather than trying to do it while you're also completing the tax returns.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've got overall time savings, a better review process and an earlier review process, more real-time apportionment, which I think is always great for provision purposes instead of looking back a year or two for apportionment. And then I assume the outputs are a lot more auditable for state audit purposes?
That's right. So, and one output that you would certainly want from an apportionment automation solution is a work paper that shows from source system document to tax return that walk. How did we get there? Make it very easy for a company when an auditor comes in and starts asking questions to pull that number and pull that work paper that flows from that source document all the way through to the tax return.
That makes sense. And I guess finally, I'll add, and for terms of benefits, is the ability to use the outputs for modeling, whether it's business changes, legislative updates, you know, to sort of have your apportionment in a workbook or in a place where you can then use it for planning purposes.
Yeah, absolutely. That is certainly a benefit of automation, because that calculation engine I referenced, it can be tweaked and adjusted to account for legislative updates, weighting changes, changes to filing groups and a company's structure. You know, to the extent that you'd like to model something, you know, you have last year's apportionment data or this quarter's apportionment data, and you want to make some changes because a state came out with a new law or you had some changes to your organizational structure, that's completely possible by performing those calculations in the engine that is built, versus attempting to use tax prep software, provision software to run through those changes.
When is a good time to start a project like this? And Tracy, I recognize that we're recording this on October 23rd, which is just past the 10/15 deadline and yet still before the November 15th deadline. Busy time. But if we think about the year and the process, when would be a good time to start?
That's a great question. We love to be having the conversations really, you know, to your point, unfortunately, now while we're still wrapping up, or while our clients are still wrapping up compliance, and really going into year end with this in your mind of what are the opportunities to really enact some transformation for the following year, really thinking about budgets and really what could be, you know, taken on by your own tax department really in the following year. So we love to be talking about it now, really starting a project during Q1 of next year, so that really have a time to fully run parallel, really like the prior year data, use that to build something, an automation solution, and then running that through the next compliance cycle. So you can really start it at year-end provision time if you have that capacity, and really set yourself up to be having apportionment done by the middle of the summer of the following year and rolling right into compliance, the next compliance season.
Well, so you mentioned starting now year-end, having something done by summer. So how long do you typically see these processes take?
This may sound like a wide range of time, but it really depends on the complexity of an organization and the rules that are built out in that computation engine, as well as the data sources. But the typical time that it would take for a project like this to be complete is anywhere between 3 and 6 months. Like I said, depending on complexity in various areas. But that's why we would like to get started sooner rather than later, to, you know, be able to test the computations that they in fact tie back and to your prior year amounts. That's how we validate, and to get teams who will be using the solution comfortable and trained up on how to use the automated version of their apportionment before compliance hits that next year.
That's a great point. As with any automation, change management is important to make sure that the teams are trained and can become proficient in using the new process.
Absolutely.
Tracy, Jen, this was a great discussion around apportionment automation, and I look forward to having you back again to talk us through a little bit more of the process, maybe further along in this next calendar year. And to our audience, thank you for joining us today. This is Liz Lamadue on behalf of KPMG Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.